If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Matrix Success Network podcast, and I'm Craig here with Brian Dalmaso, the number one coach in the world. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Craig. How you doing, bud?
Fantastic to be with you. Happy Easter.
Yeah, happy Easter to you as well. Now, this might be a weird question. I'm not too versed on this. Do they celebrate Easter over there in Indonesia?
Yeah, we do. It's a pretty amazing country, really. We have five religions that are actually in the constitutional part of the constitution. So we have days off, public holidays for the main religions that are celebrated here. So, yep, we had an extra day off and spent time with family and friends in church.
Very cool, very cool.
So today we get to talk about the infinite mind and getting our mind to do the things that we wanted to do to produce the results that we want, Brian. And I love to talk about this with you because you've got some fabulous examples about really drilling down to our paradigms and how we change those. So can you give us a crash course refresher on paradigms, a quick recap?
Sure, sure. Paradigms, understanding what a paradigm is really the crux of what we teach and what Bob teaches. And a paradigm is neither good nor bad. It's important to understand that. A paradigm is just a term that we use to describe people's subconscious programming, right? The definition of a paradigm as we use it states that a paradigm is a set of mental programs stored in your subconscious mind that controls all of your habitual behavior. So what that's really saying is your subconscious mind controls this thing we call a body into action, right? The body is an instrument of the mind. It means it's a tool. It's a mechanism that the mind drives to create, right? To create whatever it is we want to create. So a paradigm is like an operating system in a computer. And the tough part is this, you know, most people's operating system was programmed by other people, by their parents, by school, by their upbringing, by a whole host of things that they didn't choose. So what we're doing here in the Matrix Success Network and more importantly in the Matrix Mindset Academy is really teaching people to reprogram, kind of strip away limiting beliefs, reprogram that operating system, or what I should say is alter that paradigm so that their body produces the results that they want instead of maybe some of the results they're getting currently.
Yeah, and when you're talking about this, I hear you talk about this often, about the inner world and the outer world and the role that those two play. So share a bit about that.
Sure. When we talk about the inner world or the outer world, what we're really trying to condition people to understand is that it's a lot more, life is a lot more robust, a lot more enjoyed when you learn to live from the inside out. What that really means is learning to live from a responsive state instead of a reactive state. Most people are watching what happens in the environment, let that control their lives. If the economy's down, then they go down. If the people around them are down, then they go down. Whatever's going on around them controls their state. And what we work with, understanding the universal laws and getting in harmony with the same laws of nature and God, is that we want to learn to live from the inside out. And what that means is no matter what's going on around you, you can still choose the vibration of happiness, joy, love, peace, harmony, no matter what's going on. And I think one of the greatest examples in human history is Viktor Frankl. He was the Viennese psychiatrist that wrote the book Man's Search for Meaning, and he went through the Holocaust. But he understood these principles. So he conditioned to live from the inside out, even though he went through 4 years, I believe, of that just incredible horror. I can't even imagine, right? But he still held on to hope, faith, love, peace, prosperity. And he used that experience to really, really bring forth his message. And he didn't carry the dark times with him for the rest of his life, you know? So I think that's probably a good example of living from the inside out versus from the outside in.
Mm. The concept of vibration can be strange when people hear that. And so when you mean vibration, what do you mean?
Sure, there's a universal law of vibration. It's the first primary law other than energy is or I am in the Bible, right? So other than those primary laws, vibration is the first universal law that everything responds to. That just states that everything in this universe is in motion right down to the molecular level. And this is, you know, this is high school science. If you look at a rock under a high power microscope, you'll see that the subatomic particles of that rock are in motion. So everything's in motion, right? The air is in motion, you know, water, you, me, our skin, a rock, this computer, everything in this universe is in motion, and it vibrates at a certain rate of frequency. And the higher the rate of vibration, a good example is an ice cube is at a low rate of vibration. Water is at a higher rate. Steam is at an even higher rate. And it turns to gas, ether, and air is at a very high rate. So that's a good example of the same energy in different states of vibration, if that makes sense.
Ian, we have that ability to impact the vibration level. We can apply electricity and we can make the water vibrate higher intensity, and so we can change the state. When I talk to people who are maybe having a negative time, you know, mentally, they're feeling down, they're feeling depressed, they're feeling that they're not impacting and changing their environment. I often talk about when I go into an environment, I will greet strongly and happily and with great enthusiasm the cleaners as I walk through the building, the door person, the security guards, the staff that I work with. Doesn't matter what level that they are in the hierarchy of the organization, they get the same level of vibration from me when I walk into that environment, because I think I'm 100% in control of my atmosphere. I'm 100% in control of my level of energy, and I know that I have an impact on the atmosphere around me by carrying a level of energy and really thinking in my mind, I'm going to impact this instead of it impacting me. Does that sound like a reasonable explanation?
Oh, it's 100% on point. We can play around with this stuff too. I was working with one of my clients the other day, and I told him, I said, I'll show you vibration and motion. I said, when you leave this Starbucks, I said, smile at the next person, like a nice big smile to the next person that you see. I mean, what I said, they're going to smile, but this is why. I said that the energy from your mind is going to go from your mind to theirs, right? And it's energy, it's vibration, it's just like electricity. And it's going to cause them, they won't even know why, it's going to cause their vibration to raise a little bit, which triggers the muscles in their face to do something like this, which we call a smile. I said, literally what's happening is you are using your mind to cause that person's muscles to move. Think about it, right? So when we smile, we're transferring energy. And that's a very small example of vibration. You know, Gandhi did it times 200 million people, right? He translated his energy, his thought energy, and thought energy travels around the same speed as light, 186,300 miles per second. So this energy that we're projecting, this is not my opinion, this is science and physics. So when we talk about, people talk about the laws of attraction, they think, oh, I believe in the law of attraction. They don't know it's a secondary law that responds to vibration, just like a magnet, right? Attraction is magnetism. Magnetism is vibration. When things are on the same frequency, they attract, including human beings, right? Human beings are electromagnetic beings. So this is what is meant when we say we can attract things into our lives. So what you're doing is 100% on point. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's actually in harmony with the law of cause and effect, which is another universal law, right? And it's also in harmony with the impression of increase, which is just being a nice person, right?
Which is always helpful.
just make you smile.
Yeah. So I live in Jakarta, 20 million people in the city here, and at least 2/3 of them having their own motorbike. And getting cut off in traffic or being cut off in traffic, usually the outcome of that is a smile, which is strange because in New Zealand, where I come from, that would not be a smile. It's usually road rage, which is probably pretty common in most Western nations, whereas here people are just
road rage originated in the US.
You defined it in the American dictionary.
Yes.
So the ability of our paradigms to really dictate and change and affect our logic gives us our results. It's how we think. It's going to create our results for us. And you got a wonderful example of how we can not just have a 10% or a 100%, but a 1,000% increase in our results when you talk about your construction business. So how about you tell us a bit about that and the change in paradigm?
Sure. No, happy to do that. That is a pretty good example when I look back. So, you know, my first awareness, or when I started raising my level of awareness through education in this field of the mind, what happened with me is, is I applied it to my construction companies. This is years ago now. I only had the construction company, one revenue stream, and I just started a secondary revenue stream and in a network marketing space. And I was reading the book, Think and Grow Rich, right, by Napoleon Hill. And the principles of success are all in there through, from the ages, right, from the history in the ages. And I started working with Bob Proctor, and he challenged me or suggested to me that instead of small incremental gains, that you set a goal of, he likes to set a goal of making your yearly income your monthly income. So that's roughly a 10x, like a 12x, right? So I said, okay, I'm going to take my construction company from $1 million to $10 million in 12 months. That was the C-type goal is what we call it. Something I had no idea how to do, something that did not seem rational or logical. It wouldn't seem logical to most people to grow 1,000% a year. But that's also when Bob taught me about what a C-type goal is, which is what we talked upon on a past podcast. Goals are meant to make us stretch and grow. And if we're setting goals we know how to achieve, then that's just really a task or a statement. It's not a goal. So what happened with me, Craig, is I was 43 years old. I was twice divorced, living in a condo. I said, you know what? My results would say that my way is not working. So now Bob's results would say that his understanding was working. Right? He's a multi-hundred millionaire, maybe close to a billion. I'm not sure how much money he's made. He's never really thought much about money, but he's 84 years old. He runs around like a 20-year-old. He's got multiple companies all over the world, lives a heavenly life. He has friends all over the world. So his results would say that maybe I should listen to his coaching. And that's really what happened. And that's when I decided to take that on. And I just surrendered to the process. I said, you know what? I'm not going to believe, but I'm not going to not believe. I'm going to remain neutral, study this material that we teach, put it into action. And then 8 weeks later, I actually landed a $2.5 million contract. And we had two more contracts that year. And we ended up at $8.5 million. So if you think about that, I ended up at $8.5 million. So by traditional standards, I actually failed, right? Because the goal was $10
million. Right.
And that's where the confusion comes into play. Because, well, wait a minute, you failed your goal. But that's the deal. Visionaries rarely, if ever, hit their goals. But even if they fail by like 90%, it's an order of magnitude more than most people can even dream about. And that's the whole mystery and mechanics. And I think what's really broken, certainly in the United States, about goal setting. We set goals based on what we think we can achieve, but we don't even have a clue what we can really achieve. We don't even know who and what we are.
And getting that difference between what is a goal and what is a tactic or an action that we put in place, people often get the language wrong. So make that clear for us, please, Brian.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to get done on a checklist, right? Even towards a C-type goal, there's things that we need to get done, but those are really just tasks. Those, you just put them in your calendar. What that means is you really already know how to do them. See, it's not a goal if you already know how to do it. When I was in construction, to go from 1 million to 1.1 million or 1.2, I didn't need to learn anything different. Maybe I just get a little bit more work. Maybe I hustle a little longer, work a little longer, raise my rates a little bit. But there's no new knowledge. There's no learning. A C-type goal is when you're doing something you have no idea how to do, which means you have to interact with other human beings. You have to raise your level of awareness through study. You have to try new things, maybe fail. That whole process, that's the growing process. So a task is just a task, and a C-type goal is you literally don't know how at all you're going to do it, which is, I think, I was a mechanical engineer, so from an analytical point of view, when you tell somebody you're not going to know how to do it, it confuses them, right? But here's the very logical statement. Way back then, if I had known how to get to 10 million, I already would have done it before I met Bob. Mm. Right? So if you think about it that way, it's very logical that you're never going to know how you're going to do some of these big goals. We just have to make a decision that's what we want and take the first step. Does that make sense?
Mm. And deciding to see things in a different way in your business. I know when we took our childcare business from one location, which was going very well, and then we tested a new idea of running the same business but in a different location and found that worked and it grew. We needed to change the business model and see our business in a different way. So we went from a solo operator to a franchise business, and the model, the mindset, the thinking about the business, how it operates and what it could produce suddenly grew. So it went from 3 to 17 within this 12-month period of time, which was a big increase. And so there was a different way of thinking it. How did you change your thinking about your business to get this 1,000% increase nearly that you did?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the way, there's a lot of ways, actually there isn't a lot of ways, there's a few ways to change a paradigm. That's really what it is. And I always liken to the fact of an operating system, right? An operating system in a computer can never outperform itself. There's a finite level of tasks programmed into the operating system. So our paradigm is very much the same thing, but we can upgrade the operating system. So we can change the paradigm. And the way to change a paradigm is through the spaced repetition of an emotionalized idea. It's getting an idea in the conscious mind and then repeating it over and over and over with emotion to the subconscious mind until the subconscious mind grabs a hold of it and forms this thing we call the habit, which drives the body into taking action. That action might be picking up the phone and prospecting 100 people in 2 hours. You know what I mean? So what causes the body to move into motion is not the conscious mind, it's the subconscious mind. So one way to change a paradigm is through the spaced repetition of an emotionalized idea. This is why we suggest people to read a book 100 times, not once or twice. And the fundamental reason behind that, Craig, is because the subconscious mind is about 1,000,000 times more powerful than the conscious mind as a data storage center. That's why we can't just read something once and have it overwrite the operating system. It takes the repetition over time, sometimes years, right? And then it also takes faith, right? Now, faith is believing in something we don't understand. And I'm not talking about a religious faith, although it is the exact same thing. But we do this all the time. Some people say, I don't believe in faith. Well, but you're conditioned to work with gravity. So you believe in something you can't see and you can't explain, called gravity or electricity or magnetism. But we talk about God or universal consciousness. Or perpetual transmutation of energy, these are just other universal laws. So you definitely have to have faith to succeed from some point of view. Whatever you believe in is whatever you believe in, but faith is an energy. It's no different than fear, except in a positive direction. So it's a combination of the spaced repetition of emotionalized ideas and faith, right?
And you just said about fear and faith. Mm-hmm. Being opposites, there's a number of laws that you talk about. One of them is the law of opposites. So tell us a bit about that and how it relates to paradigms and how we can change them.
Sure. The law of opposites is another universal law. It's some people know it as the law of polarity. And everything in the universe has an equal and opposite, positive to a negative. Every cell in your body has a positive and negative charge. You couldn't have light without dark. You couldn't be inside if there wasn't an outside. You couldn't go up if there wasn't a down. So everything in this world, in this universe, in creation, has an opposite. So it's the law of polarity. And the way we can, quote unquote, use this, I think, is just by an understanding. So in every tragic event, or what we perceive as human beings to be tragic, there must be an equal and opposite positive to that, by law, by universal law. The problem, Craig, is we're not conditioned to look for it. We're conditioned to see what we see through our eyes instead of being able to kind of step back from a spiritual level and go right to, okay, that appears to be a tragic incident. I just lost my home in a foreclosure. My perception is that is horrific, but there has to be an equal and opposite good to that by law. So when we're working with people, we try to condition them to understand the laws and get in harmony with them so they can live more of a heavenly life. And that way, when somebody gets, you know, a car accident or a death in the family or even a disease, we are conditioned to not crumble up in a ball and sacrifice the rest of our life compared to some of the people you see, like a Helen Keller or something. I mean, there's numerous cases of people, even in the Boston Marathon bombing, people losing their legs but going on to use that experience to inspire others, teach others, train others, right? That's a good example of perception and really the law of opposites.
Yeah, I think one of the fantastic recent examples of that is the attack, the terrorist attack in Christchurch in New Zealand, and how the Prime Minister really used that opportunity to make it absolutely clear how New Zealanders as a nation would respond to that and say, this is not who we are. We wouldn't name who the terrorist was in any of the broadcasts. You never, ever mentioned his name to give him no power, no glory. Mm-hmm. no honor, you know, never mentioned his name, and really brought the country together in a sense of solidarity that this is not the culture, and expressing who we are, which is a very, very inclusive society, which has people from all around the world who get to live together in a peaceful society where guns are not seen. We don't see guns around. Our gun laws are very, very strict. And just this attitude of, if we don't like you, we'll take you out. That's not part of our psyche. That's not part of who we are. And many, many countries, as we've seen over the last couple of years, really go into a sense of chaos, whereas this did the absolute opposite, just because of the mindset, I think, and the perspective that she has had and demonstrated on a world stage from little old New Zealand was quite stellar. I think she did a fantastic job because of her mindset and her perspective, and she led the way with that, I think. Changed the atmosphere, changed the vibration around the event.
No, that's a perfect example, because I mean, obviously that's a tragic incident for a lot of people, but the perception and what happens after, like you said, if she had had a different perspective, the country could have reeled and had a negative impact and done all kinds of things to give power, more power to, you know, that tragic incident. There's been numerous incidents like that throughout history, obviously. And, you know, I don't know, there's not much you can do to control that. But it's how we respond to it that really matters. And like I said, in the case of New Zealand, it seems like it brought the nation together. Very much the same thing happened over here in the States when 9/11 happened. We came together as a country like never before, which was way long overdue. It makes you wonder if, through the laws of the universe, we brought that into reality. Years and years and years of segregation, right? Inhumane segregation within the 50 states. You know, did that cause something like that to happen? It's kind of a higher level question, but
that higher level thinking. The higher level concept. You know, when you're taking a client through the process and you're trying to move them towards, intending to move them towards a higher level of productivity and greater results, how does that process of thinking about the law of opposites come into play when you're leading people through their thinking to greater results?
Yeah, I mean, the way we use the law of opposites is really just to highlight in any one individual's given life. You know, if they try a new business and it quote unquote fails, you can apply the law of opposites there, because the only time we ever fail is when we quit. There's no such thing, really. Failure is a word that we made up to describe quitting, and that's really what it should be. You don't fail. You either quit or you persevere. So in our case, we either succeed or we learn. What most people call a failure is just feedback. That's what I call it. Human beings are feedback. We're success-driven feedback mechanisms. We need to study things, right, if we want to get ahead, and either with mentors or books or both. And learning is when you actually physically apply those things in the real world. Learning is not when you study something. Learning is when you study and then use the body, put the body in motion, and then try, and then it either succeeds or we get feedback that didn't work, and we study more, we regroup, new plan, we try again. So in the law of opposites, I think we really just highlight to people that, again, what you're saying is a failure. There has to be a good, and the good is the lesson. I mean, I've had six-figure hits in business, and they're just lessons. Just paying for information is a good way to think about that. If somebody has a business loss, you're paying for information, and now if you repeat that again, well, that's just stupidity. But before that first lesson happened, we were ignorant. So we needed the lesson to gain knowledge. So we're paying for knowledge is what it really is. Whenever somebody has a monetary setback or a failure in business, and that's how the law of opposites comes into play. It's just understanding the perception of what's actually happening.
Right. That's a great way to think of it, as feedback rather than as a failure, which would stop us, because those emotions that are involved in what we might see as a failure can be negative. Whereas we can see them as feedback, it's a learning process. And you often talk about the power of emotional impacts and anchoring in new learning and really getting new results. So tell us about the power of emotions in that, an emotional impact.
Sure. An emotional impact is another way to instantly change a paradigm. The only thing with emotional impacts is usually they're negative. Like 9/11 was an emotional impact for a lot of people in our country, same with the event in New Zealand that you had. what that means is people instantly change their lives overnight. A lot of people, through loss of life, loss of a sibling or a loved one or a partner, the very next morning, their whole world was different. So this is an example of a paradigm shift through an emotional impact. Emotional impacts can also be like getting married, going on vacation, or going to a good example. We have a lot of people going to Eric Worre's GoPro Mastery. It's a 3-day network marketing event in Las Vegas where, you know, Tony Robbins, I think Richard Branson might be there. The world's foremost thought leaders come together. It's 3 days. It's very intense learning. It's high energy, high emotion. That's another example of an emotional impact where some people right from that event will shift their thinking. They'll say, you know what? Enough is enough. That 18-year-old kid over there is making $1 million a year in network marketing. I'm 45 and I can't do it. So that's a good example of a positive emotional impact and how we would use that as an anchor to shift somebody's paradigm or to rewire their operating system.
So if someone wants to engage with this material more and they want to get in the team with you, how can people go about doing that, Brian?
Yeah, the best way is a great question. We've created something fairly new called the Matrix Mindset Academy. And we also, we have high level and very high level individual coaching, but we created the Matrix Mindset Academy, which is a Facebook group. And it's something like 67 cents a day, but we have a free 30-day trial so people can come in, see if it resonates, get to know us a little better. And we really created that for the masses. It's an entry-level step into the universal laws, into the physics and science behind wealth creation, mentally, spiritually, physically, relationships, the whole thing. So people can just jump onto Facebook, search the group Matrix Mindset Academy, and request access. And like I said, we have a 30-day free trial. So that's one way. We also have a free Facebook group, completely free. I think it's called the Matrix Something Community. So if they just search us on Facebook under Matrix Success Network or Matrix Mindset Academy, they'll find us and they can join in there.
Wonderful. Brian, really want to thank you for your time. It's great to be able to discuss things with you and tease them out into real life examples. That makes it much more meaningful and impactful for people who want to get different results by changing the way that they think. So thanks so much for your time. I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, you as well, my friend. Be well over there. Happy Easter and God bless. I'll see you soon.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out what the hell do you want, not what you think you can get. What do you want?
When we say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.